Hi, you're still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I got
you
dumped
know,
off there. It didn't count down yet, did it?
Yeah, she did. It's a hard knock life.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, nice. I got tossed off literally right before we were getting ready to start here. So let me.
Yeah, you might as well forego it.
Sports time.
Nah, not
all sports, all the time.
A little different opening to the show, but anyways, this is the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Oh, I thought I was going to sneeze there. No, okay. No? All right. Yeah, boy, it's a great opening. So hopefully you got over there, you caught up what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with 3 E's.
All right, Dan, you know, we always kind of talk about or joke about conspiracies and, you know, your foil hat and everything. And I think I may have actually came across one, be it intentional or not. You know, there was the big deal with the Bubba Wallace noose incident a couple races ago. And I mentioned on, I think it was Thursday, while you and I were chatting about it, then on Twitter, one of the NASCAR reporters posted a picture of Bubba Wallace's garage door with the car in it, and he was able to show where the rope was and, you know, what it looked like and everything. Well, then, Dan, I don't know if you saw this, but they released a picture, of the noose. And, Dan, this was an actual rope formed into a noose. And while it was still hanging on the door for the acceptance of, you know, making the door easier to pull up and down, this was, A, clearly a noose. And, Dan, it was also, B, clearly a different piece of rope than what this NASCAR writer originally tweeted out. So, Dan, I got to tell you, I think somebody switched out the rope to make it look more like a noose to get a better story out of it. Because I think they realized what they did and the mistake they made and went back and changed the rope. So, you know, as weird as that sounds.
I mean, it's completely plausible. I did see that picture after you had we had talked about it.
So, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, in some references, I'm incredibly stupid, but I know the difference between a loop piece of rope and a noose. You know, and in the original photo, it was a looped piece of rope hanging there so you could reach up and grab it and pull the door down or reach down and pull the door up. The photo they showed was a full-on noose that you would look like it was hanging in the gallows, you know, like you were ready to walk somebody out and then pull the floor out from under them. So, yeah, it was definitely two different pictures. And what I noticed about the noose photo, Dan, is they never showed it hanging from the door like the NASCAR reporter showed it. So I'm really wondering if something fishy is going on here And this is the media just trying to build a little more attention to this story that, you know, to be honest with you, Dan, kind of died down over the weekend. So they had, I think it was 4 races at Pocono over the weekend, and there wasn't as much controversy, you know, about Bubba Wallace or anything going down or, you know, who's supporting him or who's not, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, the one thing the media likes is controversy, and they're going to find a way to keep it going, whether it's the truth or not. And I honestly hate to be that guy, Dan, but I don't know if I buy this one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, too, especially when you're getting, two different stories coming back from the same thing.
Yeah, and, you know, like, the weird part especially, I mean, like, you saw the photo. That was probably the most perfectly tied noose I have ever seen in my entire life. And absolutely no reason to tie a rope like that and then attach it to a garage door. That doesn't do you any good. And what adds to the controversy even a little more, Dan, is there's no longer any investigating going on. If the noose like they showed in the picture, the secondary picture, was actually the one there, I would be wanting to know who did that, because you have a problem on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, obviously, you know, it didn't turn up in Pocono. Nobody tied a noose into anything. You know, I'm not sure where they're going next, but hopefully we won't have any problems there. You know, I know they got the All-Star race coming up in Charlotte. So I kind of think it was somebody who overreacted to seeing a piece of rope. And obviously they did the right thing by reporting it with everything that's going on. But then when, you know, it was kind of made clear that this wasn't what everybody thought it was or what it was played up to be, somebody turned it into what they needed it to be. You know, and I mean, obviously that doesn't change anything about what's going on in the world or, you know, anything like that. I mean, it shouldn't, you know, put an issue on, you know, Black Lives Matter or whatever, you know, support you're giving out there. But yeah, I honestly just think, you know, this is a damn the man conspiracy. So I'm going to add it to that box and go that route.
Mm-hmm. I mean, cause you're almost at the point now where you don't know what is the truth, and especially the fact that you brought up Bubba was interviewed, and he's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, so he had no clue. He wasn't informed until afterwards. So, you know, and then you know, and I hate to say it this way, Dan, or kind of look at it this way, but I think the one thing that hurts the movement here in NASCAR is, I mean, you know, people have to kind of face the facts when it comes to this is, you know, Bubba's not a top driver. You know, he's not a playoff driver. He's not a contender to win every week. You know, and the one thing that eventually matters is results. So, you know, it's going to – I don't know if I would say hurt the movement. But eventually, you know, like after this race, you know, this weekend, there was no real reason to talk to him because he didn't have any good finishes. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, how many times can you run up to him and ask him about, you know, social things or racial things?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that could slowly but surely kind of, I don't know, turn things back to, you know, kind of what they used to be or what they were on a regular basis or, you know, however, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm wording that correctly, but.
Well, you're kind of almost bringing it back to, like Danica Patrick.
Yeah, almost. You know, I'm looking at it here.
of, all the hype, all the stuff behind Danica, and when I got into watching NASCAR, I was like, so basically all the hype is around the fact that she's a woman driver, a female driver. And you really had no answer because you didn't want to say anything, but, I mean, it was the truth. And I'm not knocking her because she was a female. I don't care. I don't put whatever drivers you want in there. I know I won't be in there. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I just kind of half expected there to be a lot more behind it, you know. And then, the best things I'd seen is some crashes, you know, that she kind of knocked some people out, which I'll be honest, Big Jack, I didn't realize some of those accidents are on purpose. They're not accidents. So that's always interesting to me. But, you definitely want to support. And I never had I wasn't going to be an anti-Danica person. I just, with all this stuff being shoved down your throat for so long, the GoDaddy ads, you're like, oh, okay. And then you watch in and you tune in and you're like, most popular person is, kind of like Mike Trout. And not a playoff contender. You know what I mean? So, not to take away from Mike Trout, but, it is what it is.
Yeah, and, you look at it, Bubba finished 22nd on Saturday and 20th yesterday. All right, he hasn't won a race. Where is it here? He's 21st overall in the point, and he only has two top 10. And he's almost, he's almost 300 points out of the last playoff spot. So, and again, it's, not that obviously he's a bad driver, or anything like that. He's just not in the upper echelon of, the sport. And, eventually, it is racing. You need to talk about racing. So, if he was having better finishes or running in the top five or even the top 10, it could kind of give you a reason to go talk to him. But, in this scenario, now all you're really going to is you're going to talk to him for social commentary. You don't want to talk to him about being a racer. And I don't know if that's fair to him. But all right. Well, I didn't want to get hung up on that because obviously there's a lot of stuff going on, Dan, and I didn't even realize this was kind of an option for Major League Baseball players. But as of now, there are actually three players who've announced that they will not be participating in this 60-game season. Two of them happen to be from the Washington Nationals. Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross are going to skip this year. And then Mike Leake has come out and said he's with the Diamondbacks now. He's come out and said that he will not be participating. And what I find really kind of interesting about Zimmerman and Leake is, Zimmerman's on a one-year deal, and Leake is in the final year of his contract. Zimmerman, he's pretty much at the end of his rope anyways. He hit free agency, and nobody offered him anything. Joe Ross is really one of those guys who's bounced around has been a bust. There were some people who thought he could be a back-of-the-rotation guy, and that never materialized. So, there's not as much interest there as there is in, a player like Leake who, he came straight out of high school. He never went to the minor leagues. He went straight into the Reds rotation. So he's only 32, I believe. Let me double check his age. Yeah, he's 32, but, he's got a lot of experience. He's thrown a lot of innings. Dan, how do you look at a guy like this as a free agent now next season when he's taken a whole year off?
I mean, it's going to be hard no matter what. You think about it, can you really base Let's just go with Mookie Betts. Okay, you know, just because I think that's an easy one for us to kind of look at. Mookie Betts, let's just see. Do you have his numbers in front of you? No, you don't, because I just brought up his name. So, you know, we've got an MVP winner. Pretty, you know, he's going to spend 60 games with the Dodgers, because you haven't mentioned he came out and said anything. So, 60 games, what if he, you know, new division, new league, doesn't really get to take off like you expected, kind of gives you a Manny Machado performance, playoff performance, you know. How are you really basing anything you do off of this year, or do you have to, you know, make it retroactive to the 2019 season?
Well, here, maybe this will make it even a little more interesting for you then. Leak actually has an option for 2021 at $18 million, or there's a $5 million buyout attached to the contract. You know, don't you – I, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, I mean, I think if I'm the Diamondback, I feel kind of slighted here because there's no way they're picking up that option now. But I'm going to have to give this guy $5 million, even though he chose not to play. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean that. You know, and I get it. It's the, you know, it's a
Wait,
scary situation. You know, all that other stuff. But you know, this
I mean,
is his job.
And that's one of the things I didn't understand and how it all works is, because technically, are you saying that he gets $5 million if he doesn't play this year?
If
or they,
opt if
out
they
is
buy
next?
Out the contract, that would be for next year.
So
yeah, because the option for the 2021 season is you can either pick up the option and pay him $18 million or pay him $5 million to get out of the last year of the contract.
What is he making this year? What is he supposed to make this year?
Double check here real quick. He is scheduled to make $15 million this year.
Well, and then he's not making that. I don't know how they're...
They've already been paid some of their salary. So, you know, he did make something. I'm guessing now, you know, he'll no longer be paid. I don't know how the... You know, like the NBA worked that out with their players ahead of time. I'm not sure what baseball did. So.
Yeah, I mean, this totally, it's so unprecedented. It screws up everything.
Yeah, here, I found it here, Dan. He'll make about $5.5 million for this season. So he will be being paid $5 million to not play.
So, I mean, if you think about it, he's got a full no-trade clause. See, on SpotTrack, they've already have his 2021 his 2021 money X'd out or crossed out, striked. So, I mean, if they – mutual option continues. So, if they go with the buyout for $5 million, I mean, they're kind of saving money because they have luxury tax on to them with when they added him for this season. They would have had $7 million on that. So I don't know how all the adjustments work or whatever. I mean, everything's going to be screwed up for the next year and there's going to be a lot of asterisks everywhere. But, I mean, if you think about it, if they only have to pay him $5.5 million this year and they can simply write the $5 million check for next year, they're done. But – you know, and I guess you don't know the full ramifications, but the way SpotTrack has it, he's done.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, I mean,
so.
when you look at it, I don't see a team's motivation for wanting to pay him anything. You know, I mean, he does have a career winning record. He's 105 and 98, but his ERA is 4.05. So, you know, and he spent the majority of his career in the National League where the ERA should be lower. So, yeah, I can't see him. And, you know, and it's fine. I mean, if they feel this is what's best for their family, I have no real objections with him doing this. Like I said, I'm more disappointed in the fact that he got $5 million and, you know, I basically got squat and I was actually legitimately sick. But I guess I'm not a baseball player, so I'm probably bitter about that. I don't understand, you know, looking in the next year when I'm out there on the free agent market going, boy, you know, I could really use another arm. I just don't really see him being an option unless he's given me a fantastic deal or he's signing an incentive-laden contract.
Mm-hmm.
So. But, yeah, I just, you know, I thought that was, you know, kind of weird. You know, like I mentioned, you know, Zimmerman, you know, there, you know, I know there were little bits and pieces about, you know, well, maybe this team will talk to him or maybe that team will talk to him. I'm more under the impression that that was his agent trying to get a little bit of anything out of anybody because, you know, as much as you like Ryan Zimmerman, he's been injury prone throughout his career. You know, like even last year, he only played in 52 games. The year before that, he only played in 85. You know, it's unfortunate because, you know, obviously he's a talented guy. He's in the majors, but he's 35. He'll be 36 in September. The only real team that ever had any interest in bringing him back this year was Washington. And, you know, that has more to do the fact with now it's nostalgia and, you know, they just won a World Series. You know, luckily they'll have the DH now, so if he's healthy, he can probably play a little more. Or he could have played a little more. But, yeah, so, like, him sitting out, I don't think it's that big a deal, do you?
No, I don't think so.
You know, and then, yeah, looking at Joe Ross's numbers here real quick, he, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this would have been his sixth year. He's 21-19 with a 4.29 ERA, 78 career games, 57 starts. So we're really talking about a guy who's just a middle reliever decided to opt out, and that's, you know, that's fine. I mean, you know, the rosters are going to be expanded. I know each team submitted like a 60-man player pool that they're going to, you know, they're going to work with to narrow down to whatever the roster limit was. So that's not, you know, those two aren't such a big deal. I guess the question now, Dan, is do you think we get any more?
I think so.
You know, again, a little bit like the NBA, do you think we get a big name? Do you think there's actually a big name out there that steps up and says, yeah, I don't want to do this?
I don't know why they haven't come out yet already. That's what's kind of baffling to me. I was just trying to go through my brain and figure out, you know, but, you know, like you said, these guys made their option, but, you know, we need, I don't know, I guess for it to really be like, oh, wow, you need Bryce Harper or Mike Trout to say no.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I also did see, and probably more importantly to you, I wonder if you caught this one, your guy Melky landed a job. The Mets have brought him in as part of this, whatever the heck roster size you call it. They brought in him and Gordon Beckham, and then they also added Erasmo Ramirez and Hunter Strickland. It's kind of interesting because with the DH now, this kind of plays up Melky's alley, doesn't it? I mean, all he's got to do is hit, which is actually something he's been able to do. You know, I mean, even for the Pirates last year, he still hit 280. I get that he's not the power guy, you know, or he never really was a power guy. He doesn't have a 20 homer season, but you know, it's still nice to have a guy hitting 280 in the, you know, bottom half of your lineup, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think that'll be, you know, kind of interesting to see what these National League teams do with these DH slots, you know, and especially, you know, like the Mets do have your other guy, Cespedes, depending on how he's healthy. It's probably better to put him at DH, isn't it, so he doesn't go out and spike
yeah.
himself and get hurt again?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, then the only concern you got to worry about is he doesn't trip going up the dugout steps. You know, as long as he can get that done, we should be okay. But I don't know. You always got to worry about those things. So, and you know, I was trying to think because I saw somebody they were talking about the Cubs DH spot. And I wanted to ask you about it because it was kind of a
stupid question.
The thing that was weird about it was it wasn't Kyle Schwarber. And that's what kind of threw me. And I'm trying to remember who they had in the spot. And I just kind of looked at it and go, how do you put a DH together and it's not Kyle Schwarber? So, or maybe it was just the way that person had written it up. Because I think you and I have decided immediately that as soon as they announced the DH, it was Kyle Schwarber, right?
Yeah. Immediately.
But, just kind of strange that they didn't go the route. But, of course, I guess, you know, the Cubs are carrying. How do all your guys end up on this podcast, Dan? I forgot they signed your guy Steven Souza Jr.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So, you know, I mean, they would, you know, not, you know, neither of those, you know, neither him or Schwarber is going to win a Gold Glove.
Cool.
So.
Well, and I mean, Souza, well, this would be a perfect season for Souza, but in two ways. He can either play a whole season or he'd miss an entire season after one at bat, you know, so.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't. Hope he doesn't have another one of those seasons. That's just, that's just a little ridiculous there with the way his injuries have been going. So, but yeah, that was the shock. You know, kind of the shocking thing for me is when I thought I was like, well, this is easy. It's, you know, it's Kyle Schwarber, and then wait, it wasn't Kyle Schwarber. It's like, what's wrong? Something's wrong.
Well,
here.
I mean, going through that roster though, who else would be on? Let's backtrack. So if it were Joe Maddon as the manager, there wouldn't be a designated hitter.
Yeah,
let's be honest. It would depend on, you know, what the weather was like the day of and what Joe Maddon had for coffee or, you know, whatever his crazy theories were. It would never be the same. You know, it would just be a rotating thing. It would, Jason Hayward's gone 0-for-37 over the last 12 days. Let's put him in as the DH. John Lester could be the DH for all we know.
That's what I figured. It would just be the pitcher hitting, right? If it was Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
He would be hitting eighth?
He'd be hitting like seventh. But, you know, kind of going through, but you look at it, and who on your offense would you really want? I mean, do you want to take Javi off the field? No, not unless, you know, it's just a random day. I think you could have Javi DH, you know, just periodically because you're trying to do, you know, trying to give field time to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it would just happen just because of certain situations, you know, you would put Javi in. But it wouldn't be a permanent thing.
Or a half a day.
Yeah, you know, you're not putting any of the 12 guys that could potentially play second base for the Cubs because not a single one of them are warranted of being a DH. So you kind of get rid of that there. No, not anymore.
No,
because he's going to play the outfield.
Yeah. Well, here's my one maybe monkey wrench for you. what about a guy like Caratini who could actually hit?
Well, yeah, you didn't let me finish going around the horn yet. you're not putting either Chris or Rizzo in the DH unless, of course, Rizzo's back's been acting up and you want to get him off the field. But you're not really putting anyone because nobody on the team knows how to play first base. Not the way Rizzo can. So
can
they
Chris
can all
Bryant
play because they're ball players. No. He's not a – yeah, for 10 games, I get him in. Get him in. Well, I don't know how that's going to work this year. But if we had a full season, I would encourage David Ross to get Bryant in for 10 games at first base just so when I draft him, I can get that extra position. So, you know what I mean? And when you think about it, all the complaints against Jason Hayward, he's not going to be in the DH. Can you imagine the uproar? Jason Hayward was in the DH at a full-time position. Almora, no. You know, you threw the monkey in the wrench, but it's not a bad wrench to throw because Caratini can definitely double up as a DH, but I think before he went in as a DH, that's where Rizzo could go in as a DH and he'd be playing first base. So, I don't think it's more of a full-time thing. So, again, you know, I've kind of gone through just off the top of my head who's on that team, and the only name I didn't mention was because it's the obvious one is Kyle Schwarber as a DH because that's the whole purpose of his game, to be a hitter. So I don't get it. No.
No?
No.
No, I thought he could be a DH. So.
No, I mean, he got sent down to the minor leagues because he had hitting issues. And then everybody, oh, my God, he's been down there 30 days. He's crushing the minor leaguers. Ben, you know, 6,000. I don't know. He had, like, 7 good games. I don't know. And then he comes back up, and what happens? More of the same. More of the same, you know. Just like country singer's ex-wife guy. What's his name again? 2-time World Series MVP, Ben Zobrist.
Kelly. Oh.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a Ben Zobrist home run tracker in the minor league. Yeah, great. He should be hitting a home run every time he comes up to bat in the minor league.
That's not true. Let's see here. I got to check this. Well, they said he was crushing it in the minors, Dan. He hit 242 at Iowa last year with 16 home runs in 99 games. He actually hit better at the big league level. He hit 264 with the Cubs. So I guess that AAA pitching was a lot tougher than we thought.
But you can't look at the whole. You have to only look at the time from when he was dropped. Or did he start? I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember. So I can't look at the whole. I have to look at the sum of the parts of what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, that was the fanboys, you know, all the fandom. Oh, I went down to blah, 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 and he went 3-for-4. Well, you went on the good day. You weren't there for, you know, the entire time he was down there. So, I don't know. I don't see anyone.
You know, Hop was rushed to the majors. Let's get that out.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
He needed another year or two in the minors, but Theo was in a hurry to get his number one pick to the majors, and they rushed him up here.
Because, ooh, look at me. I'm building the youngest team in the major leagues, and –
yeah.
Everything I did backfired after we won the World Series. Literally.
Yeah.
Everything he did backfired. Blew up in his face.
Boom. Sorry. Oh. Oh, excuse me. I hate when that happens. Oh. I must be a little off. Normally that happens before you and I get started. But, yeah.
But
I
mean,
thought that was, you know, anytime I see the Cubs, it's always kind of humorous to me because I know I can ask you and Stu about it.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, this is all we've talked about since me and you, the freaking Cubs Nation. Theo's been pushing to get the DH universal so that when it does, when, you know, he has his guy already lined up. I'm sorry, but any person that covers this sport professionally, that means getting paid for it on a daily basis, unlike you and I, and looks at anybody else to be the DH for the Cubs should be fired, and then they should be immediately sent to the hospital. I don't know what kind of surgeon you use for this, you know, but to get their head removed out of their ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the other side, Dan, you know, we thought when the off season came along that, you know, especially after that Dodgers-Angels trade got rescinded, we were trying to figure out kind of what the heck the Dodgers were going to do with all their outfielders. I guess baseball solved that problem for them, huh? Now they can have, you know, Bellinger, Betts, Peterson, and Pollock all in the everyday lineup. Just one of them has to DH. So, you know, they kind of did the Dodgers a favor, because I really thought Jock Peterson was going to kind of be the odd man out and have to wait for Pollock to get hurt, which we know eventually is going to happen, because let's face it, it happens every year. Nothing against Pollock. It just seems to happen to him. I mean, he's a really good player when he's healthy. He just can't stay healthy. You know, so, yeah, we kind of thought, you know, at least I kind of thought, you know, great, Peterson's just going to pinch hit and, you know, maybe spill a little at first and in the outfield occasionally. And, boy, man, they dropped this on the Dodgers' doorstep. And it's like, holy crap, now you can get all, you know, I mean, they'll get, you know, even in 60 games, you got to figure they're going to get what? Probably 75 homers out of those guys, because, you know, the ball is going to be all gassed up wanting, you know, the attention like last year after all the fiasco they went through. Hell, those four guys between them may hit 100 home runs in 60 games.
It would be something special.
I can see Bellinger hitting one home run a game. They'll be throwing a rubber ball up there to him and, you know, just letting him hit rockets out of the stadium just to try to get some attention. But, you know, you got to figure kind of looking at things in a short season, as long as they're healthy, shouldn't the Dodgers be like the runaway favorite to just kind of wrap this whole thing up?
Like they've been for almost the last 10 years.
You figure the shorter season should help Justin Turner stay healthy. Maybe it helps Pollock stay healthy, you know, instead of just getting 100 games or whatever. Maybe they can play in 50 or 55. You got Max Muncy, Corey Seager should be healthy. It's also odd when you look at it, because you're like, oh, okay, well, we'll have to figure out how this goes. But, you know, they do still have Clayton Kershaw and, you know, the other guys that have, you know, dominated there. And why am I drawing a blank on that other guy's name? Who Walker Buehler, that's it. For some reason, I thought his last name was Walker. So, but Buehler Walker would be a really dumb name, so I'm glad I got it the other way. You know, and then you wonder what you're going to get out of David Price. And Dan, how long have we been waiting for Julio Urias to become a top of the rotation starter? It seems like it's been 6 years.
Yeah. How long has it been? Like four?
Yeah, I it's got to be, right? It's three or four. You know, that and the funny thing, and I'm looking at it here, he's only 23. I guess it's been four. Came up in 2016.
19.
You know, made 15 starts and everybody was in awe. And then he kind of bounced around a little bit. I know last year he got in 37 games, mostly as a reliever. Do you think we'll finally see him in the rotation, even though, you know, he'll only be pitching three or four innings a game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's so different. I think today when you really have no clue what the front office is thinking, you know, if you're Dave Roberts, I think you just show up. Yeah.
But yeah, you got to figure it's for any team, it's kind of a good year to break these rookies in as starters, isn't it? Because you're only asking them to really go four innings. You know, you're not going to run him out there and go, oh yeah, kid, I need seven out of you today to save the bullpen. You know, that's not the case. If they go out there and they give you four solid innings, you get them out and everybody's happy. So it's, for teams like, the rebuilding teams, White Sox, Mariners, Tigers, Royals, Pirates, it's going to be a good year to run your rookie pitchers out there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Of course, that's going to make it difficult for us to draft. Oh, and I did want to revise you here, Dan. Remember I mentioned to you that our money league had been canceled?
Mm-hmm.
For Mr. Fantasy and I? Well, they've decided to revive it because apparently I didn't realize they were paying to use the site they use. I didn't realize they had a fee that for the site to keep track of their stuff because, like, ours is done free through Yahoo. But they use CBS Sports. Well, the website gave it to them for free. So they decided to take advantage of this, Dan. So we're apparently we're going to play a week-to-week league where there will be weekly payouts. You know, since the majority of guys that already sent their fee in, instead of having to return them, we're just going to continue to play. But we're going to do one draft, and then you submit your lineup weekly, and one guy will win. There'll be a prize for first place and second place during the week. So I don't know. You know, in ways, it's a little like ours, Dan, except we play head-to-head for a week, and whoever wins the categories wins the week. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how this works out with these guys because they're a different bunch. And I'll be interested to kind of see how this shakes out or how they go about it and if we honestly do any good because I guess this format is a little more to mine and Mr. Fantasy's liking because we've been doing it so long for Yahoo. So maybe we'll actually win this year after getting the shaft last year. Or was that football?
Which
I can't
guys,
which league we got. I'm trying to, because we made the playoffs. Was that football? We got it when we had the better record and we lost the spot because they had more points. Oh, here, Dan, I want to get back to like actually serious baseball here. You know, they're doing that goofy rule with the runner on second base. And I was kind of wondering about this, but for the purpose of earned runs and the pitcher's ERA, when that runner starts on second base, he's going to be put there, and it's going to be that he's there as the result of a fielding error. So his run will not be considered earned if he actually scores.
Wait, say that again?
So, in extra innings, they're putting that runner on second base to start the inning. You were kind of wondering how would this affect the pitcher because – ERA and earned runs and giving up runs is obviously something we worry about in fantasy. This runner, they say that he's going to be he has reached second base because of a fielding error, even though they're not going to charge the team an actual error. He will not be an earned run if he scores. So apparently it won't count against your pitcher's ERA. It'll just be a run he gave up.
Yeah, but if that doesn't count, then essentially, the win shouldn't count if he scores.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other story. But, I hate the thing, too. I was just kind of wondering how they were going to go about factoring that in. So, the new minimum three-batter rule will require the starting or any relief pitcher to pitch to a minimum of three batters, including the batter then at bat or any substitute batter. What it doesn't say here, Dan, which I believe is part of the rule, is if the inning ends, that guy doesn't have to come back out and face more batters. If it's a reliever and he comes in and gets one out, I don't think he's got to come back out to face two more batters. But the way this rule is written right here where I'm reading it, it would mean he would have to. Oh, no, here you go. Why the hell did they word it like this? Here you go, Danny. This makes sense to me. Until such batters are put out or reach base, or until the offensive team is put out. Who the hell says that about baseball? Wouldn't you say till the end of the inning? Put out? Really? Mm-hmm. Who the hell writes these rules? Do they got William Shakespeare in the office trying to figure out how to explain these things to normal people? Put out. That's ridiculous. I don't. That makes absolutely no sense until he's put out. What the hell, Dan? Did you write that just to infuriate me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So that, yeah, that's just nuts. But I don't know. I did see Intentional Talk came back for the first time today on the MLB Network. I didn't watch it because you and I are here. I think they started at 4:00, but it's still, and I don't know about you. Are you having, you know, as it gets closer and closer, and like I know the Yankees and the Nationals are going to open. I'm still not excited about this. Are you? Or are you getting about, there? I should say. You know about baseball actually.
Bit. I am a little bit.
So yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. I'm trying. I really am, but.
Well, I mean, I just don't. The postseason doesn't matter. Like, to me, it's a really long spring training, with spring training postseason.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a good way to look at it because, yeah, I mean, what are they going to do come postseason? Is it going to matter? Because what is it, 10 teams now is the side, right? It's expanded to 10 playoff teams, and I haven't even really looked into how they're going to go about doing it. So, I don't know. So, you know, what do you, you'll have to help me out when we get there and make me feel like it's more interesting or something. I just don't, like I said, it just hasn't clicked yet. Maybe when they report on the first or whatever, I'll start being a little more into it, but it's been kind of blah for me. Maybe I'm just old.
Well, I mean, you're out of the mode. My dad said the same thing. You can't really get in the mode, you know, for baseball.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to, and I'll be excited, but when you're trying to pump this up like it's, you know, the championship season, it's not, you know. This is, I'm more apt to accept the Red Sox and Astros World Series wins over this, if that makes sense. You sound like a jerk or whatever.
Because at least they played the full season. I mean, even though they cheated, they at least played a full season. But, and I know we're coming up on the last, like, 10 minutes here, so I wanted to get this out there. I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it. Did you see that the NBA is going to allow players to put messages on their jersey? Now, I haven't quite figured out what that actually means. I don't know if they'll just be able to, like, swap out their nameplate for something else or how they're going to be able to do it. But I do you like this idea? Because, you know, a lot of the NBA players have kind of complained that restarting the season will hurt their message. You know, even though, like I mentioned, I don't agree with it because of all the interviews they're going to be allowed to do. But, you know, Dan, this kind of – the NBA kind of gives them an answer here by allowing them to do this. Are you pro this, nay this? You like this, you hate this? What do you think?
That doesn't bother me. I mean, if they're allowed it, the only issue I have is if, you know, guys like Lauri Markkanen, basically non-black people, don't put BLM or Black Lives Matter on the back of their jersey, are they going to be considered racist?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that myself. You know, how they would be viewed. And then I guess, you know, maybe, you know, maybe my other question might be, you know, is obviously, you know, not every player in the NBA is black. I mean, we know that. I don't mean anything by it. I mean, it just kind of happens. You know, what if a guy like Enes Kanter, who's had a lot of problem with the Turkish government, and was actually, they actually wanted to arrest him. I know they recently just let his father
out.
Yeah, well, they just let him out. I guess apparently they locked him up just because they wanted to. So, you know, they recently locked him up. You know, what if he wanted to put a message to the Turkish people? Or, you know, what if there's an Asian player who puts, like, free Hong Kong? You know, is that going to be looked at differently?
Oh, my God.
Because, you know what I mean? You know, is that going to be looked at differently because it's not part of the Black Lives Matter movement? And would they be allowed to do it?
I mean, if you're going to allow a player to put a message on there, they have you're opening it up, and they could be allowed to put anything on there, I'm assuming, without any vulgarity.
Yeah.
But, you know, how you can put any message on the back of that jersey. But if you put those three words that you just said, free Hong Kong, that will start a thing with China.
Right.
You know what I mean? It'll be worse. It would be like the worst thing, because unlike America, where you could sit here and trash the president as much as you want, and then get equally pissed off when your quote-unquote president's in office and the other side trashes them, but that's not okay. You could do that here in America, but you can't do that in China. And they already – God, I forgot who it was that said something about free China, free Hong Kong, and, like, David Silver had to get involved and ease tensions or whatever. You know, what's going on with that. So, you know, you could do that, but if you put those words on there, it's going to, you know, you have that freedom here in America, but not over in China. So I don't know how that would work. And even that, you know, if Enes Kanter put something on there and his dad's not stateside, his whole family could be murdered. We don't know.
Yeah. And that
it was
the one you're talking about. That was Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM, who tweeted that out and then ended up deleting it, of course. But, yeah, remember, you know, and I don't even know if they ever put him back on, but remember, they took NBA games off of television. So, you know, I mean, that really caused an uproar. And, yeah, you wonder – you know, because obviously you can't restrict them and say, well, it's just the Black Lives Matter movement, because that would be, you know, I guess technically it would be racist to all the other players in the NBA. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, while I guess I'm okay with this, I just think they somehow got to monitor it to make sure, you know, because in the end, you know, obviously it's all about money, and you can't have what somebody would write on a jersey or something cost you money, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't think of it that way. I was going to say, you know, let whoever put whatever, and if it blows up in their face, that's their problem.
So, yeah, you know, of course, you know, again, like I said, the problem is, you know, it, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be the player who monetarily suffers. You know, it's going to be the league. And, yeah, I you know, just kind of, you just kind of wonder how they're going to go about it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. If it's about the message, but just remember, Vince tried doing that, Vince McMahon, and it didn't really work out. If they start putting nicknames, you know, it's just what happened.
So, yeah, that's, you know, because, again, like I said, I mean, it's interesting. But, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, what, you know, what, you know, what's, yeah, what's the kind of ramification, I guess you could say, or look at? I mean, you know, how far can you take it? I know, like you said, obviously they can't have, you know, and any vulgarities or anything like that on their jerseys, because the television network isn't going to put up with that. But
or the FCC.
Yeah, that is. Well, you know, I mean, I guess they could blur it out, but that's a lot of movement to blur out. So yeah, I guess it'll give us something to watch. And but yeah, it just seemed kind of, you know, how they were going to do it. But I guess we'll find that out here in a matter of weeks, because what, they're starting the end of next month. So we'll see. You know, and then I guess, Dan, is if a player doesn't do it, like you said, even if it's a black player, would he be looked down upon? I guess we can figure this out. We'll be right back.